Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 12. We're going to start reading at verse 6, and I'm hoping to be able to finish this chapter today. But he says, "And ye shall keep it unto the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening." And of course, we're talking about the Passover lamb. But let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, I'm asking for your help to preach the message today. Lord, speak to the people. Lord, minister to the people. Lord, have mercy upon the people. And Lord, those that are hurting, please meet their need. Those that are struggling with some issue or something, Lord, show yourself to be the one that is able. Lord, your word says it. I know. I believe your word. I certainly believe your word. But Lord, touch the people. Minister to the people, Lord. And we're careful to give you the glory, honor, and praise. In the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. But as I say, we're talking about the Passover lamb. And let's read that verse in the next. He says, "And you shall keep it unto the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorpost of the house, wherein they shall eat it." And we know that this was done thousands of years ago. We know that this was done a very long time ago. But that it's a picture of Jesus Christ. It's a picture of Christ dying on the cross for our sins. That as we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, our sins can be forgiven and washed away. Not by anything that we have done, not by our goodness or righteousness, not by our church attendance, not by our faithfulness, not by if we've been to Sunday school or we've been to seminary, but by faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He said it's by faith and not of works, lest any man should boast. We're sinners, and we have a sin debt that needs to be paid to God, and we cannot do so. But Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Messiah, our Lamb of God, as John said, took away the sin of the world. And if you put your trust in him, you can be forgiven and you can go to heaven. The most well-known verse of the Bible, John 3:16, says that if we put our trust in him, then we can find salvation. Now, I'd like to make some controversial statements. And again, I want to say that again, this is a controversial few statements that I'm going to make. I'm going to make a few friends perhaps, and probably a lot of enemies, but that's fine. And we've touched briefly before that too often in the church today, churches, denominations, fellowships, whatever, some, certainly not all, but some will remove the blood from the gospel that they preach. They'll take the hymns that sing about the blood out of the hymnal, for instance. They'll take preaching against sin and they'll put it off in a corner somewhere, and they'll not really preach against sin in the pulpit. They don't want to have anything to do with pointing out the problems of man. And no, that's not controversial, but there's something else that I'd like to say. And again, I know it's controversial. I've not heard it preached too often, if ever. But the Bible teaches, and you can read in Genesis where it says, I guess you can start this off by saying that in the beginning, that God said that man should eat vegetables, fruits, whatever, nuts, berries, whatever. But there was a progressive revelation and further instruction that when Noah got off the ark, God said for him to start eating meat. God said for him to start eating animals. And we see here in the book of Exodus, in the great passages that talk about the Passover, that they were instructed, the Jews were instructed to kill and roast and eat a lamb. Or in one place it says perhaps of the goats in verse 5. If they didn't have a lamb, maybe they could have a goat. They were instructed to do so. And we said that this was a picture, a foreshadowing, a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ and Him dying for the sins of the world on that cross. Now, in our world today, we have those that say that we should not eat meat. Now, some will use the argument that meat isn't very healthy and we should stay away from it or eat less of it. The vegetarians say that we shouldn't have anything to do with meat. And certainly the vegans, they don't want anything to do with milk or anything like that. I think that they would go a little bit too far with that. But, you know, you can eat whatever you want. I'm not against anyone. If you want to eat vegetables and lettuce and eggplant, that's fine. Go ahead. But it doesn't stop there. They'll say that meat or eating meat or killing animals, whatever, is morally wrong, morally repugnant. And I would have to ask, well, if the Bible is the Word of God, then it is the ultimate source of what is moral and what's immoral. But they'll make statements such as meat is murder. And we've all seen the bumper stickers, whatever. Now, I know some religions, such as the Hindus, they don't eat meat, or some of the various sects of Hinduism, they don't eat meat or what have you. And I'm not necessarily against the Hindus. I'm not saying that, and I'm not against anyone. But if you're going to make a moral distinction and try and say that eating meat is murder, or eating meat is immoral or sinful or some kind of implication like that, then to follow it logically, as Christians, knowing the Bible, it says that Jesus Christ is immoral. That this Passover lamb was the most horrible thing in the world. And to trust in Jesus Christ, who gave His life for the sins of the world. He said, if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you'll have life. I know that the Lord's Supper is symbolic, but still, if you make those kind of statements, I believe it is against the Word of God. And again, if you want to make the statements, if you want to believe that you shouldn't eat anything with a face or anything like that, knock yourself out. I'm not against you. But you might find yourself against the Word of God. And we'll go ahead and leave that. But in verse 8, it says, and they shall eat the flesh that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall they eat it. And we could make a statement about the unleavened bread and the bitter herbs and what have you. But it says in verse 9, eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head and legs with the pertinence thereof, or the entrails. But he says, don't eat it raw, nor sodden at all with water. Don't make any kind of gravy, or don't boil it or braise it, but to roast it. And this verse has been taken many times to say that we should not water down the Gospels. And I mentioned a while ago about them taking the blood out of the hymnal. And I mentioned today that they take the message of sin or conviction against sin or whatever, and they shuffle it off to the side. The seeker-sensitive and purpose-driven crowd, that message, they don't preach against sin. Or at least not that often. Instead, they'll take surveys and try and canvass the neighborhood to see what what kind of place that their church happens to be in, what the people in that neighborhood want to hear, and then they'll preach that. They'll provide what the people want. Now, I think that we should try to please the people in some instances. But we're feeding the people the bread of life. And again, not trying to be offensive, but I don't care what people want. I really don't care what people want. I know that the Word of God is true. I know that there is life in this book. I know that there is eternal life if we'll trust in Christ. I know that sin will send you to hell. And I will do what I can to lift up this message, this way, he said. And I'll preach the cross. And if somebody doesn't like it, well, that's too bad. You know, you don't have to listen, or maybe you can make fun of me as you listen, or you can go to some other church that doesn't preach against it. But I, on this program, and I, whenever I stand in the pulpit or try to write something or testify in any fashion, I'm going to stand against sin, and I'm going to rejoice in the blood that Jesus Christ shed. You know, if you don't preach the blood and you don't preach against sin, you don't preach against the things that men do wrong, and we don't lift up Christ's righteousness, then there's no saving power. If your kid's on drugs and you go to a church that doesn't believe that Christ can set them free, well, I wish you the best. But he's probably going to stay on drugs. And I could continue to make examples of whatever, but if you leave out the power of God, if you try to have a form of godliness, but you deny the power thereof, and the power, of course, comes from the cross. I believe in the power of the Spirit, but as we'll study later on, in John chapter 16, it says the Spirit's going to preach and witness and whisper to you and illuminate what Jesus Christ says and does. And there's only going to be victory for you. And the things that weigh you down and struggle, that you struggle against, these things can be broken by trusting in Christ. If you believe a watered-down gospel, you probably won't have deliverance. Let's go ahead and look at verse 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And we've mentioned this before in the different chapters leading up to this. But these things that God did for the Passover and the deliverance that he gave the children of Israel, he executed judgment against the different gods of Egypt. These different false gods, these pagan gods, they held the people of Egypt in bondage. Today we have idolatry in our midst. We have it in America. We have it here in New Orleans. And many times we just look away from it. We don't even see it. You know, the parades that we have here during Mardi Gras, if you look at the floats, they're all named after different Greek or Roman gods and goddesses, different pagan holidays that are celebrated. These things are idols. You turn on the television, and practically every hour that passes as you watch television, you're presented with some form of false religion or idolatry or something. And, you know, somebody says, well, you know, Brother Kelly, you're kind of a killjoy, and I understand that. But God came to this earth in the form of Jesus Christ to execute judgment against false religions, against false ways of salvation, against paganism, against sin. And I'd like to say one more thing, that God judges, and we know that in the end that God will sit on his throne and will judge everyone. We know that the end is coming. And you need to be in Christ. You need to have your sins forgiven. But if you die without the remedy for sin, if you die and you weren't born again, then you'll stand before God's throne and you will be judged. The things that are wrong at that judgment, murder, or if you're a thief or something like that, those things are wrong today. And again, we many times don't preach against sin. I want to say one more thing. Homosexuality is wrong. It is wrong. It is against the Word of God. I can preach a sermon on that, and perhaps one time I will. But you can go through the Word of God. Many times you will find, for instance, in Romans chapter 2, or chapter 1, rather, it mentions that homosexuality is wrong. You read the story in Genesis about Sodom and Gomorrah. It says that homosexuality is wrong, that it's a sin. It's an abomination before God. But today you can't say that. Today you turn on the television. Tonight, I'm sure there's a show tonight, probably one yesterday, probably one tomorrow night, where it pictures homosexuals and we're presented that, hey, this is normal. This is how we're supposed to live our life. In our schools, the little kids are taught that homosexuality is normal. I'm here to tell you it's wrong, it's a sin, and God will not put up with it. And no homosexual will go to heaven. If you want to go to heaven, you need to repent of that sin. And let me tell you, you were not born that way. You may have a problem, you may be in bondage. Jesus Christ can deliver you. He can set you free. It is wrong for a boy to fall in love and to have sexual feelings with another boy. And likewise, a girl, it's wrong. You can be forgiven of your sin. You can be set free. You can be changed. Old things can pass away. Behold, all things become new. That's in 2 Corinthians. You can have deliverance. And again, this is not something I'm supposed to say on the airwaves. I'm to be castigated and shoved aside if I make these statements. But the Bible is true, and I stand on the Bible. I trust in the Bible. I trust in the Lord. He is near that justifieth me. And homosexuality is wrong. I'll say it again. Homosexuality is a sin. It's against the Bible, and it's wrong. And you should heed the Word of God. You say, well, I'm not a homosexual, Brother Kelly. But yeah, but that stuff's on television. And you watch the sitcoms and you laugh. It's wrong. Turn that stuff off. Get it out of your life. Now, let's go ahead and look at some of the other verses here. In verse 13, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And we've talked about this. This is a picture of Christ and His blood being the remedy and the payment for our sin. And He says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Your sins can be washed away. Your sins can be put away from as far from you as the east is to the west. You may be a homosexual. You may be a murderer. You may be a gangbanger. You may be a gossip and gossip with all of your neighbors. These things are sin. And these things can and many times will cause people to go to hell. But you can be forgiven. You can be cleansed. Okay, I sound like a broken record today. And you know what? I don't think I'm going to finish this chapter. Not on this program today. But sin will destroy you. And it says right here, and the plague that shall not be upon you to destroy you. Plagues, the plague of sin, will destroy. The wages of sin is death. This angel came, the angel of death came to destroy. The firstborn of every household, of every man, every beast even, was going to die. And I've preached this before. We know this story. But sin will destroy you. This plague of sin and self-will and iniquity will destroy you. But if you put Christ's blood on the doorpost and lintel of your heart, if you invite Him into your heart, and you say, Lord, I believe in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that Jesus died for me. I believe it. I confess it. You can be saved. You can be delivered. You can be set free. You can be changed. He did it for me, He did it for millions of others, and He can do it for you and every one of your friends. God can help us. God can help you, but we must turn to Him. Let's go ahead and look at verse 18. He said, in the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at evening time, You shall eat unleavened bread under the 21st day of the month at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Now the stranger and born in the land, we're going to go back to this topic later on. But God has salvation for the Jew and for the Gentile. And again, later on we'll get to that part. But it's talking about leaven. Leaven is a picture of sin. I know what leaven is. Leaven is something that we'll put some kind of baking powder or yeast into flour and we'll let it rise or what have you. And it will cause the bread to rise and be edible once you cook it. Who wants to eat something flat? Now, I understand that they did eat unleavened bread. And it mentions this in the next verse, actually. But leaven is important. We need leaven, but it has an effect on flour. But Jesus said, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees." In another place it says, "Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump?" If you let a little bit sin in your life, you make provision for a little bit sin in your life, that will grow, that will fester, that will ferment, and it can take over your whole life and it can destroy you. And what he's saying here, when the Jews were supposed to go and clean all the leaven out of their house, that we need to be careful to let the Lord take the sin out of our life. We need to confess sin and forsake it. We need to repent. You know, the word repent means to turn around and walk the other way. If you're walking into sin, you need to turn around. You need to stop and turn around and walk 180 degrees out of sin. But this leaven, again, is a picture, is a symbol of sin in our lives. And we need to be careful to let the Lord convict us of sin and be ready to repent so that he would take it out of our lives. But in verse 20 it says, "You shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations you shall eat unleavened bread." Now this is the matzah bread. You can go to Dornyak's or Savor Center in the ethnic food section. You can find the matzah bread. And that's what this is talking about. If you've ever been to any kind of Passover celebration, this is probably what was used. This is the kind of bread that Jesus ate at the Last Supper. And I'm not exactly sure what we eat in our churches today, but the wafer that we eat is modeled after this unleavened bread. You know, and I'm going to pretty much stop here and talk about this last thing. I mentioned before that we should, if possible, at some point in our Christian life, attend a Passover celebration. Again, it's around Easter time that Passover is. It's in the spring. There are various congregations here that will host a Seder presentation. But they'll explain the different items that they have. They'll talk about the unleavened bread. They'll talk about the wine. They'll talk about all the different rituals that the Jews have. And I understand that there's a little bit corruption here and there. Probably mentioned before that God said to take and eat lamb, but today that they don't do that. And they will make some excuse about the temple not existing, whatever. But that said, much of the what they call the Seder, which is the order of service for the Passover, and the table that is set and what have you. And I don't know the Jewish terms. It probably means the table. But a number of the things in there, and probably most of the different rituals and things that are done, correspond with what Christ did when he was here, when he went to the upper room and he held the Last Supper for his disciples. And he said, "Here, this is my body, take, eat," and whatever. They were doing pretty much what Jews today do, and of course what Messianic congregations will do. But my point is, at this celebration that they have, These things pointed to Christ. When they would take the different pieces of matzah, for instance, when you might study the afikoman, and they would take three pieces of matzah and would wrap it a certain way, and they would take one and break it and hide it and whatever. All of these things point to Jesus Christ. All of these things in pictorial form, in a ritual that the Jewish people would do, all of these things pointed to Christ. And as one more witness of what God has done in sending His Son to die for us. And I encourage you to find Christ in the Old Testament and the Passover in particular. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. Or just go to the main page and follow the links on the left, and you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.